Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. On this episode today, I have a special guest. His name is Zenji, and I know him just personally over time. So, Zenji, how are you?
Greetings, goddess. All is divine.
I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Awesome. How are you doing this Saturday morning? It's kind of early.
You know, everything is great. I just made a smoothie. I'm actually on a cleanse right now. So
nice.
I'm just drinking my sea moss smoothie. But yeah, all divine.
That's awesome. I did a cleanse about a couple of weeks ago, which felt great. I did it for 5 days. So that was awesome. All right. Well, Zenji is here. I know Zenji from before. And I had a few meditation sessions with him. And today we're going to get into a little bit about that, his take on it, and just his thoughts and opinions about just being spiritually balanced and all of that good stuff. So Zenji, do you want to talk a little bit about just kind of what are your thoughts on meditation? How did you get into it? Just a little bit of history for yourself.
Okay. Regarding meditation, how I see meditation is a form of purging or deprogramming from, you know, negative programs, as well as it's just stopping, right? Taking a break from all that is going on. So it's just getting in tune with yourself and learning to know who you are beyond this body mind. You know, I feel meditation is a path. It has helped me tremendously in my life. I'm so grateful for discovering meditation. First time I started meditating was in actually 2017. I was going through a lot in life. I didn't know who I was, didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was suffering and just taking on the world and being angry. And I decided to, you know, step out, and I was giving the book of Power of Now, which was like kind of like the opening to my spiritual journey. And after reading that book, that led me to research more of, you know, Eastern spirituality. And I found two gurus, one called Muji and another one called Osho. And it was Osho who introduced me to meditation, because he had a meditation. He had his own meditation that he created.
Okay.
And so it was when I went to India. I went to his ashram, one of his ashrams in India, where I practiced meditation for the first time, professionally, properly. And then it consistently continued after that.
Okay. Cool. And so how was that experience being in India, going to the place where he actually, like, where he was, and just how did that feel, being able to kind of tap in within that same space?
It was a divine experience. Definitely. It was at times overwhelming because it was a new place. There was a lot of, I didn't know what to expect, you know? Right. And but I'm grateful because I got to be in a different environment. Right. And learn a different culture and right. practice a different art form.
Right, right.
So I'm forever grateful.
That's good. And so now, you know, I guess that kind of, like you said, was like the opening door for you into this kind of new lifestyle, this new way of life. Can you talk a little bit about your routine and just how many times a day or how many times a week you meditate, or different ways that you do?
Okay. Well, I start off in the morning. I try to start off when I wake up with some breath work. And I just do simple meditation technique, which is just basically focusing on the breath as I inhale and I exhale, and then just keeping my eyes closed.
Right.
Sometimes I will fluctuate to focusing on my third eye, and keeping that point focused there, as well as, you know, being aware of my breath. It ranges. It could be from 30 minutes to an hour, you know. Some days I do two times before I go to sleep. And then just throughout the day, I would say I'm in a meditative state. I try to find different increments where I pause and just be aware of the breath and just be aware of what's going on.
Like if you're, say you're out doing an errand or something, you kind of just take like a minute to pause and just breathe a little bit. And
Yes. Or when I'm cooking, cleaning, etc. Just try to stay focused on what I'm doing and then just stay present.
I'm gonna say that too. I know when I had a couple of sessions with you, we always talked about that. When I should schedule in, you know, my sessions, to really just be aware of my breaths and things. And I know it was always like me trying to do the morning time, and I have to admit to you, even now to this day, the morning, it just doesn't work for me. I don't know. I'm not fully awake like that. But, and I do feel like I'm just going to fall back asleep if I do. So I just have stuck to the evenings before bed, and I use it as a moment to reflect on the day and just things that I've kind of experienced throughout the day. And also just kind of like, what am I looking forward to for tomorrow? What do I want to go to sleep with on my mind? Like a clear mind about certain things. It's almost like a closure point and almost like a starting to think about the next day in a positive way. But I do take those, like you had just kind of mentioned, I do kind of take like those midday points. Like I'll be out on the train. Well, just now kind of getting back on the train because I'm getting back to work now. But just taking a minute to like be aware of my breaths and kind of just pausing. Or if I'm at work and it's getting a little busy, just kind of like stopping in my tracks for a couple of seconds and just like pausing and kind of regrouping and, you know, just focusing on my breaths and just kind of relaxing a little bit, or just kind of like, okay, this is where we're at now. Let's, before you get overwhelmed or anything like that, you know, or just even when I'm home, like you said, like when you're cooking, the same thing with me when I'm preparing food for the kids or if I'm cooking for myself or anything, while I'm cooking, I take a minute to kind of just be aware of just what I'm doing, like my breathing and things of that nature. And for me, I also kind of feel like preparing food makes me feel good. I also kind of see that as a little form of, I'll say, like therapeutic or relaxing. So when I am cooking, it is a little bit easier for me to kind of take those moments to pause and like take those deep breaths and kind of just focus on my breathing for a minute. So I want to talk about just how did you get into being a spiritual healer? So you went on your journey, you traveled and you started meditating yourself, you implemented it into your lifestyle. When did you know that this is something that you wanted to make as a livelihood for yourself and that you wanted to share this knowledge and to share this experience with other people?
One day I woke up sometime in 2018. I would say maybe, I think about around my birthday, around April, I woke up and I realized that, you know, I felt that I was equipped with the knowledge. It's like my spirit just said, go and teach, go and teach, go and teach. And so I decided to, you know, change my name and adopted a spiritual name. And then I decided to choose a place where I would go and teach. And my spirit led me to Jamaica. And that was my first class that I ever taught. It was a meditation class in Kingston, Jamaica.
I think I remember that.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny looking back. I never thought that I would have been doing what I'm doing now, you know. But Spirit just led me, and that's what happened. So it started in May of 2018.
Wow, that's good. Okay, and so do you feel that, would you say that your travels, to Jamaica and to India and all the other places you've been to, do you feel that that has affected your perspective on healing? Do you see that connection?
Yes, definitely. Traveling opens up your mind to different
I agree.
cultures and different perceptions and different viewpoints, different belief systems that different cities and different countries they have. And it's like a vibrational thing as well. It's like when you step into another country, you're also tapping into another energy form. And that also affects your vibration and everything. So I definitely would say traveling has expanded my mind, opened myself to be more open-minded, I would say. Yes.
Now, I know, I believe you also went to South Africa at one point.
Yes.
How was that in South Africa in terms of just being in that whole environment? And how was the energy there? Like the energy from South Africa to the energy where you were in India and where you were in Jamaica? How was that energy between the places?
Well, they were all different, all different. There's similarities when we speak about just melanated people in Jamaica, Africa, wherever. We're all similar, very similar. South Africa was a very interesting experience because just the context of about 20 something years removed from apartheid. So you're still dealing with that, the offset of that, dealing with the energy of racism and just dealing with the energy of a lot of insecurities and a lot of anger and a lot of judgments and things of that nature.
It's still very new.
Yes,
It's
it's
still
very
very
new.
new.
So, but at the same time, I was very impressed to see a very growing spiritual community out there, a vegan community as well. To see how people were resonating with doing yoga, especially melanated people, it was very beautiful. I got a chance to teach at one of a conscious summit called Tunche. Yes, I got to teach there and lead a guided meditation to about 200 plus people. And I'm grateful because a lot of those connections I still
That's a
have.
really big crowd.
Yes,
That's a really big crowd.
yes,
But
yes.
it must have been really beautiful to see everyone really operating or just just being on one accord,
Yes.
thinking on the same kind of frequency in the wave. I think that's awesome. That's really great.
Yes, I mean, the dynamics of South Africa is very multicultural. So just to see everybody from, whether they be Indian or European or, African, whatever, all came together and said, you know what, I'm going to go to this festival, this summit, and, I'm going to engage and try to heal from, my trauma. So I'm definitely grateful for that experience. And it was also at the cradle of humankind, which is also powerful as well, because that's what they say the first humans come from. So the grounds that were chosen was even more divine, So, South Africa is a special place. It's a special place in my heart still, and I still do want to go back and do some more work there because the people are ready, and they're looking for something different. Yes, yes.
I think too, after that whole thing with the apartheid, being that it's still new and still fresh, those emotions are really raw. It's only, I want to say, like one generation removed. And so that's the same as our parents or like us, you know what I mean? And probably coming out of that, a lot of people there are looking for a sense of balance, They're probably, I'm sure they're having a lot of emotional experiences, and they're all collectively, probably even unbeknownst to each other, looking for some sort of balance. And I think if they're all on the same frequency of let's all kind of just tap in and like just kind of take that self-care, just that whole mental being space, I think that's pretty unique. And that's pretty awesome. That kind of leads me to the next that I had too. Just segueing into, you know, thoughts on when it comes to healing in the Black community or the melanated community, and just kind of why it's important that we all must take some time to just kind of work on it, on our inner selves as collectives, as a collective. Do you feel that there is a difference from, I'll just kind of sum it up, like on an international scope versus here in the States when it comes to healing or just taking those self-care practices seriously? Do you feel like it's held in the same light between those places and here in the States, or what is your opinion on that?
I will say that the melanated people in the States are more hip and more conscious about wanting to change, wanting to transcend their traumas and heal from their past.
Right.
So I will say that comparatively to other places, just because there's been a level of knowledge, I would say, exposed in the American in the American world, you know.
Right. Okay. So another question that's always I've found interesting.
Go ahead. I didn't answer the other part of the question. I definitely feel it's very important for all melanated people. It's not really a difference between whether it's in Africa, the Caribbean, or in America. It is important for us to heal so that we can move forward. You know, the similarities of apartheid, you can say the same thing happened in America. And then dealing with the, you know, the colonization and dealing with the just the overall systems that, you know, are in place in America, in Africa, in the Caribbean, it's all the same, right? Capitalism. We have to find a way to heal ourselves so that we can benefit from capitalism. And I'll say that because at this moment, we're not benefiting because of our traumas. So we're actually suffering more under the guise of the system. But as we heal through the spiritual arts, right, the meditation, the yogas, and such, we're going to see how powerful we are, and we're going to be able to move forward as a collective wherever we are, and then connect, you know, whether it be in Africa, Caribbean, Jamaica, just a universal connection.
Yeah, I agree as well. One of the things, well, you know that I'm plant-based and vegan, and I started on that journey officially in 2018. And for me, it was just more of like, I mean, before that, I considered myself to be, you know, pretty health conscious. I think for me during that time, I did have a meditation session. And when I was done meditating and just having some time for myself, it was, you know, my spirit told me, like, just give up meat and do like a juicing kind of thing or a smoothie kind of thing for like about a week. And specifically, it was like the green juices. So with the kale and the spinach, obviously throwing that ginger in there, but having aloe and all of it. So I feel like it was a healing thing. And a lot of the times, I'll be honest, I mean, I post all my smoothies and everything on Instagram and Facebook and everything like that. And a lot of the times I'm really just winging it. Like I'm just, oh, this looks good. This looks good in the blender. This, you know what I mean? But sometimes it is that moment of like my inner voice or my spirit saying like, you know, add this, add more of this or add that. And I don't know if it's something happening within me that I don't know about. And maybe this is what I need to be doing Or if it's just something where, like, I'm lacking something and I need to up the intake about something else. So I do feel like, you know, there is a direct connection with a plant-based lifestyle and a spiritual belief. I mean, I honestly feel like since I've been plant-based, just the people that I've met, everybody is their own individual. Everybody thinks their own thoughts. We're not like robots. We're not like a cult or anything like that. However, I feel like because we are eating a certain way and we practice a lifestyle a certain way, it does affect our thinking because we do know that food affects your thinking. All that the gut and the mind is directly related. And so we all kind of are on this pathway in a sense, if you want to call it that. And do you feel the same way? Do you feel like a plant-based lifestyle has affected, you know, your beliefs, your spiritual beliefs or your practices or anything like that?
Definitely. Definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
I think just adopting a plant-based diet allowed me to become more compassionate.
Right.
It allowed me to really learn also how to make new things, right? As a as a plant-based, someone who's into plant-based, learn how to cook, study about traditional herbs and and juicing and fruits. And it definitely created a creativity within me, or opened up creativity within me.
I was going to say the same thing for me.
Yes, yes. That's beautiful that you said that. And I just want to say that when you said the spirit tells you what to do, that is very true. Spirit will tell you what you need for your body, because spirit is operating the body, you know? Right. So when we're in tune with our spirit and through the plant-based lifestyle, it allows us to have a flowing communication with spirit.
Right.
When we do intake a lot of meats, there's a blockage because of the animal that we intake, you see?
Yeah.
But when we take the pure plants, which the animals eat from,
right,
we get the divine knowledge, which is connected to spirit. From the earth,
right,
and all the elements. So it's very important that we definitely adopt a plant-based lifestyle if we want to experience a spiritual growth, a spiritual height, a spiritual development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say I agree with you there too on all of that. And definitely, especially that whole piece about kind of exploring, you know, being plant-based, like you said, you're learning about now different herbs, different plants to put on your palate. It opens a door of knowledge to a different world. You're operating in a different world, a different lens. And so you are doing more research and you are learning a little bit more. You're learning about the benefits of some of these things, you know, a variety of different things. So let's talk a little bit about the services that you offer. I know when I was doing meditation with you, when you were here in Brooklyn, we were doing the one-on-one sessions and those were amazing. I felt like it was just always perfect timing because I was always, you know, always coming on my lunch break. So it was busy in the mornings at work and, you know, it was a nice break to have in my day. Because with the kids and just being a mom and us always up and down on the go, you know, pre-COVID and stuff like that, it was very, it was a lot. And so it was nice to have like those afternoons where even if it was for like 45 minutes to an hour, I can just kind of chill, you know, and not be anything in the moment, but just be within myself. So that was always great for me. And I really appreciated those sessions a lot. And I know that, you know, the group sessions, you were saying that you've done the group sessions abroad and you did the one in Jamaica as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about like how those operate, like the healing retreats, the group sessions, the one-on-one sessions?
Okay. Well, the one-on-one sessions is very simple. You know, We sit down and we go through some breath work and some meditation techniques. I've also expanded into dealing with releasing trauma. So we have trauma exercises. We have whatever the client needs, right? If they need inspiration, affirmations, we deliver, right? And that goes into the group as well, the group dynamics where we teach meditation and same thing. At the current moment, what I'm doing is because of COVID and everything that's going on right now, I've just been coaching online. I open up my services to a monthly service where there's about five to six sessions where I teach meditation, I teach breath work. You open up to me about your life, you know, and I help you to see the patterns of the past and, you know, help you to become more confident within yourself and help your spiritual development to grow. You know, I offer recommendations to books. I help with guided meditations, anything that is necessary, needed from the client's perspective. I offer. Right. So I've been doing that. And pertaining to the retreats, I was able to do my first retreat sometime last year, July, in Jamaica. And it was a very interesting, and I'm grateful for that experience because it showed me what I was capable of. Planning the retreat and teaching and having special guest chefs coming, plant-based chefs, and just having people help and just seeing the dynamics of how important retreats are, how people enjoyed it, to see, you know, the getaway aspect, right? People, I feel like people don't get away a lot, right? They're always, you know, working and trying to, you know, maintain. But we need to, you know, definitely find some time to just break away and sit with ourselves and do the work.
Right.
And then, you know, we can go back into the world and do what we have to do.
Feeling refreshed or feeling renewed.
Yes. So I do want
to. I remember that. I remember that retreat. And I remember I was trying to figure out how I could make it. And I couldn't, because I think, when you were going, I had just started my classes. So I wasn't able to participate. And I was like, oh, I know that would have been amazing, because I feel a lot of places too, especially the islands, just geographically where they're located, there's like an abundance of exotic plants and just the things that you may need that you just can't get here, you know? And so I know those experiences, you know, away from where you are, can really make a huge difference.
Definitely.
Do you think you would have any more retreats in other locations?
Yes, definitely. I would love to do one in 2021. I believe we will be doing one in 2021, maybe closer to the latter of the year. So now we're just deciding whether it's gonna be is the next step, whether it's gonna be in the Caribbean or are we gonna have something in the States, just to keep close. But I definitely intend on doing more retreats. I see the value in it. And I know exactly what you just said, reminding me of how, you know, important, because the environments, as you say, is once you step into a new environment and, you know, you taste a different food, you drink a different water, you consume a different plant. And then you also can learn about the different plants and the different herbs. I think also now implementing that in my retreat will be also beautiful, just the plant life and to understand the herbs and the benefits of them, I think will be very amazing for the people that do choose to come.
Right. You did. You said something that kind of piqued my interest just a little bit in terms of your sessions that you're offering now. And it was about trauma. Can you explain what a trauma healing might look like, or what it may feel like, or just what are the like, how would you do that?
So I call it the trauma release exercise. And it's basically writing down, triggers exercise, okay. which is the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're okay. just writing down the things that trigger you, because all of the right. trigger and the trauma is related. You write down right. what triggers you, then we face them, right? And then I ask you questions like, why do you think this bothers you? And then through those, through asking you that, then the client goes deeper into themselves to see what happened within their past. And then right. I give tools on how they can start to respond to these triggers. So when they do come up right. again in life, right? Instead of responding the old way, they would be able to be equipped with the new techniques of how to just respond or not respond. You know, there's a thing right. called equanimity, right? Remaining equanimous means non-reactive. When we okay. react, it's our reactions to these triggers, to these other people's perceptions, right? Things that people do.
Yeah.
And when we react to it, we then inflate it, right? We make it bigger right. and we waste our energy and we create the whole chaos. So what I also right. teach is non-respondent, non-reaction. Okay. So learning how to be still, learning how to let things go.
Right.
And that is very powerful, because I've seen it with my clients of how they, you know, they'll call me and they'll say, this happened the other day. And I realized my first thought was reacting the way I used to, but I remembered what you said and I remembered the tools and, you know, I let it go. So, and because I let it go, it didn't, you know, go any further and I was at peace with myself. So, yeah, it's definitely powerful. It's definitely needed. It's definitely necessary, because if we don't deal with our triggers, we're always going to respond the same way we do, and we're always going to create more trauma.
Mm. Right. I was going to say that too. I can say for myself, I forget the term you just used, that long term, but I feel like I've gotten stronger and not responding to certain things, and just kind of taking a step back and just saying, I'm not responding to this, and just kind of completely ignore it. And you know, the person on the other end will obviously feel a little upset or just a little agitated, or they may see me as passive aggressive, but I personally just like, you know, I've seen that within myself recently, where I'm just not going to receive that energy and I'm not going to entertain it.
Yes.
So me kind of blocking that and not responding to it, it's kind of like return to sender. You know what I mean? It's not something that I'm willing to be involved with. And I think you're right. Like, I've noticed over time that that's something that's grown within me, because I've just, you know, pre-COVID, you know, but especially during COVID, it's something crazy happening now, but it also is kind of gifting us the time to just really be with yourself and be with your thoughts. And I feel like the more that I'm doing that, the more that I'm able to do that when it comes to particular individuals, which is something that I think is really good. Okay. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about the services you offer? I feel like we covered a few bits of information that were really good. You have anything else you want to offer or share?
Well, yeah, if anyone's interested in coaching, they can reach out to me. They can actually text me 929-605-8293. Again, 929-605-8293. Or they can find me on Instagram, Heru, H-E-R-U, Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, Zenji, Z-E-N-J-I. And they can send me a DM, and they can also be able to, because my Instagram is like my website. They can be able to see what I do.
Right.
And, you know, if that fits with them, then they can reach out to me and go further.
Right.
Go ahead.
And now, where are you located now? Oh. You're not in Brooklyn, so you're in
okay,
where?
yes, yes. So I'm based in Miami right now. So mm-hmm. yes, I'm based in Miami.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. So now we're going to go to the next segment of the podcast, and this is called Say What's On Your Mind. Mm-hmm. And so for this segment, this is kind of where people will email me or DM me or send me a message of just things that they're thinking about. Mm-hmm. So it could be opinion, it could be a question, advice, or what have you. And this is kind of just where we can both kind of give like our input. It's more like a way to keep the audience engaged in a sense. So one thing that I got, it says, what was the hardest part about transitioning to veganism? Do you want to go first?
The hardest part is not being able to eat the things you enjoyed.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's very true, because we probably did like chicken. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. You know, coming from a Jamaican background, having curry chicken and oxtails and, you know, you name it. It's just, we're so used to, I was used to that, eating that food and enjoying it. So giving that up was definitely difficult for a while.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing for me. Before I officially decided, like, tomorrow's the day, I'm just going to go plant-based and, you know, I made a pot of curry chicken and I was like savoring that meal and I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And I was like, well, this will be the last time. And then I think when I had the taste for it again, I did curry chickpeas.
Nice. Nice.
So for me, and that came out pretty good too. Yeah. So for me, one of the hardest things about transitioning definitely was also just not having those foods that I did want. I mean, I felt like before I never ate it too much anyway, but it would be like I had a taste for it. Like I know occasionally for me, when I first became plant-based, it was like curbing those cravings for salmon. Cause I always did like a baked salmon, but the way that I cooked it, it was always just so amazing. So I remember I would get like cravings for that. And I'm like, oh, I can't have salmon, you know, or I'm not going to eat the salmon and that kind of thing. So I think for me, it's in the beginning, it was curbing those cravings for things that I would want as like comfort foods in a sense. But just kind of being without it so long now, it just, I mean, I think about it, but it's not like, oh, I have to have it. It's kind of like, when you don't have something, you don't really miss it. Like you don't know what it's like to miss it. So that's kind of what it is. However, I am exploring more now because, you know, with plant-based, you wind up exploring things. So now I'm exploring like with jackfruit. A lot of people are doing things with fried jackfruit or, you know, jerk jackfruit and things like that. So I feel like there's other things that you can do. Yeah, other alternatives and mushrooms. I've never been a mushroom person, like ever in my whole life until I became plant-based and I put them in a soup one day. And I loved the way that it just kind of soaked up the flavor of the soup. And so ever since then, it was just like mushrooms. I got to have mushrooms in my fridge now, you know? So definitely opens up an array of different things for me. But yeah, that was one of the hardest things for me, I think, when it was about transitioning to being plant-based or vegan. It was definitely those comfort foods like the salmon or the curry chicken and things like that. I will say, though, like throughout my plant-based experience, I'm still not big on the vegan processed meats. I can say I probably had the processed meats maybe like 4 or 5 times over the span since 2018. I'm kind of starting to get into them a little bit more just because of the kids. I know with the kids, it's hard to just make them cold turkey plant-based. So the vegan meats are good, I think, in transitions or in moderation. So that's kind of when I'll have it then, but even not so much then. So do you have any upcoming projects? I know you're doing the virtual The virtual sessions, anything else upcoming?
Nothing right now. Nothing upcoming. I'm just just enjoying life and moving at you know, the pace of spirit. So yes. I think 2021 will be the year when I really really go in and start to a lot of projects will come about, but I'm taking 2020 as that place of just stillness and enjoying and experiencing and just relaxing.
Yeah, not putting so much on pause, but just kind of putting it on pause and just feeling it out and just kind of seeing what it's like. Yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. Well, Zenji, I want to thank you for being on this episode and for doing this with me. I know we rescheduled a few different times.
Thank you.
But thank you for being here this morning. And it's nice to have this as a start to my Saturday. I mean, this is, aside from my kids, you're the first adult conversation that I'm having for the day. And it's nice that we're having a conversation about this. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, just in my opinion, it's setting the tone for my day to just like, just chill, mellow, you know? So it feels really good that we're talking about these kind of things at the start of the day. So thank you for being here. And guys, thank you for tuning in and listening. I hope you got something from this episode, and please reach out to Zenji. He left a number that you can reach him at and follow him on his Instagram. And do you have Facebook, or is it just I feel like you have a Facebook, but you're not on it.
Yeah, I'm not proficient in the Facebook, but I stick to Instagram.
Okay. So yeah, if you guys are interested, please reach out to him. He left his number. He left his Instagram. So DM him, check him out. So thank you, Zenji, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right, take care.